Week 5. Seek Me and Live. In chapter 5, just before Amos and the priest had their little dialogue, God made the situation very clear for his people and for us as well. In the first verse, God said, quote, "Hear now the words that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel." Amos 5:1. It was a lament that God spoke over them. Just like Hosea and the minor prophets as a whole, he was utterly brokenhearted over the awful things people could do to each other and to him. The whirlwind of sin is a destroyer. God warned them harshly of this fact, but in the midst of these words of doom and judgment, God did it again. He showed his true heart. Seek me and live. Amos 5:4. And not just once, 3 times. Seek the Lord and live. Amos 5:6. And seek good and not evil, that you may live. Amos 5:14. Is it clear enough what he wants? No more dum-dum train. Seek him and live. Hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. Amos 5:15. The gate of the city is where court was held and where people sought justice and fairness according to the good law of God. Following God's way meant to hate evil and love good. His people were doing the exact opposite. God doesn't just let that ride. His words were strong here in Amos, but the loving heart of a good father shines through. I hope you see that. Sadly, it appears that the larger response to the words of God in Amos was total rejection. On the timeline of history, Amos spoke to the northern kingdom a few decades before the bitter prophecies he was called to proclaim came to pass. The people did not seek God. In fact, the more they were called, the more they went astray. Hosea 11:2. The end came as God said it would, since nothing changed. 2 Kings recorded these heartbreaking words. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria, and this occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had practiced. 2 Kings 17, 7-8. They abandoned all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves metal images of 2 calves. And they made an Asherah and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And they burned their sons and their daughters as offerings and used divination and omens and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah only. 2 Kings 17, 16-18. Awful. So the question we asked a while back was, is there a limit to what God will take? It seems the answer is yes, in Amos's case. Now that Christ has come and the work of the cross is complete, the loss of salvation is not a fear for the believer. But the strong discipline of God can not only be a possibility, it can be expected. God surely feels the same way about sin now as he did then. At the end of all things, when Christ returns to claim his own who have trusted him, the wrath of God stored up against the evil of mankind will be poured out in full on those who, like those of Amos's day, turned a deaf ear to God in favor of all their sin could devour. And God will likewise be heartbroken on that day of wrath over those who reaped his holy judgment. How bitter it must be for him, knowing that he created us all because it pleased his heart to no end to do so. Needed response. Without an honest and heartfelt response by his people in the Northern Kingdom that came from a deeply repentant heart for the generational evil they had done, the judgment would be inescapable. If they dig into the depths of the grave, from there shall my hand take them. If they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. Amos 9:2-8. These are truly sobering words. Let them drive you to him who is waiting to lavish his love and grace on any heart that is turned toward him in honest confession. Remember how he reveals his character. Seek me and live. Look at what God said in Ezekiel about his deep desire to forgive instead of judge. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? Ezekiel 18:23. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. Ezekiel 18:30-32. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, said God. The words and judgments in Amos were severe and sobering, but to his people, God surely said, seek me and live. And he meant it. In Christ now, the same is true. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, says the old hymn. God revealed his good and merciful character perfectly in Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 1:29. The 12 helped me to understand sin the way God does, so that I don't play with it. I repent of it. Amos may be a furnace and the storm may rage, but stick to the compass. The very end of Amos takes a turn into brighter skies with a hopeful hue. In these last verses, God revealed his true heart and desire for his people who come to him now through Christ Jesus in faith, believing. The promise is still true. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows the seed. I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel. Amos 9:13-14. The goodness of God. God told his people about a day that he had planned when the abundance would be so great for his people that they would barely be able to keep up with it all. He would restore their fortunes himself, as in Joel, when he promised to restore the years that the locust had eaten. I can say for myself that often the goodness of God overwhelms me, and it's hard not to be moved to tears. I can be so stubborn, so thankless, so hard-headed and stiff-necked, that his mercy shown to me, which I do not deserve, stops me in my tracks. The gentle breath of his Holy Spirit reminds me of the way I should take. Sometimes in those moments, I get down on my face in prayer, but have nothing to say that could match the feeling of His grace. Again, I ask, like the psalmist in Scripture, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? Psalm 8:4. He doesn't have to restore anything. He would be right and just to leave us rebellious folk to the darkness of our hearts and the wreckage we make of our lives. But He doesn't. In Christ, He calls to us one and all, no matter where we've been or how far we've gone, to return to Him so that He can restore us to Himself. He is no friend of sin. Friendship with the world is enmity towards God, James reminded us in his letter, James 4:4. You do not want to be an enemy of God. He does not sit by while sin destroys. And when He acts, it is definite. You do not want to be a friend to sin. Sin will leave you in ruins. The great furnace that is the book of Amos is about as clear and direct as you can get on these two points. Being a friend to God and an enemy of the dominion of sin is the way to go. In Amos, the good and consistent character of God shines through. Why does He call out to us and warn us? Why does He love us? I don't know. But He does love us. He truly is a wonderful God. No wrong answers discussion questions. Number one. In the midst of these fiery words in Amos to God's rebellious and perverse people, God still called out to them to repent, to seek Him and live. He takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. What does that say to you about the character of God, even to us who are so prone to wander? Number two. Have you had a relationship with someone where it would have been easier to walk away when things got tough, but you knew you needed to stay connected for their sake? What was that like? How does that help you relate to God's heart here?